Well, let me go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for your grace and your mercy. We got a lot of things going on in our lives and things with family and things with friends and neighbors and so many things. And you know all those things, Father. We just pray that you help us as we study this text to learn from it what you want us to learn. And let it be used in such a way that changes our attitude, changes our hearts, and changes our direction of focus and our priorities onto you now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's kind of an interesting chapter because it is a little bit longer. And I don't know, you know, typically when I have about 60 slides, that's a pretty good hour. It's pretty typical. This was 91 or 92. So it's a little bit longer. So depending on some of the details are easy. Some of them move right along. And this is one still talking about Tyre. So we're in chapter 27, judgment on the Gentile nations. He'd already talked to and gave prophecies concerning what's going to happen to Judah, right, in particular Jerusalem. He's already talked about that, so he stopped talking about that. Now he's talking about the nations around Jerusalem, around Israel area proper. And they're likewise going to go through judgment because of their treatment of Israel. And so those are pretty significant. So that's where we are today. We're still on the outward. Verse chapter 27 is now, remember we talked about Ammon and Moab and Edom, Philistia, right? And all that was all chapter 25. So there jumped on and gave four different nations all within one chapter. And then 26, beginning 26 through most of 28, it's all about Tyre. So we're in the middle of God's prophecy against Tyre and all the going. Tyre, if we really, we probably think about Egypt and Babylon and Assyria and big nations like that and how influential they were. And they were. Tyre was also not very big, but it's very influential, very rich. Had a lot, everything about it said they're doing great, they're doing wonderful, except for they didn't have a great relationship with Israel, and there was competition there. So we're in the middle about Tyre. So 27, little background. This is Ezekiel's second message against Tyre was a lament over the city's fall. So they're going to give this lament. Hasn't happened yet. Again, this is prophetic. It did happen an hour after the fact, but he's letting you know that this is what's going to happen. This is a cry over the city and all that. Tyre's destruction was so certain that the funeral dirge could begin. It's like he's saying, I know it hasn't happened yet, and I know it from the human standpoint, everything looks beautiful and awesome, and they're making lots of money, and they're doing great. You might as well just start their funeral now. I mean, that gets the impression, because God says it's going to happen, it will happen, even though externally, at that moment, they're still doing pretty well. Ezekiel 27 focuses on the many countries commercially associated with Tyre, that they were a commercial seaport, and they had a lot of connections with a lot of groups, and we'll go through some of them as we go on. So Ezekiel 27 is where Tyre is compared to a ship, so he's going to use the analogy of a ship. And so when you think about a ship, you think about going to the sea and you go through rough waters, or it could sink in bad weather and all that. Well, it's kind of an imagery of Tyre being as a ship. And of course, that's what they were. They were seamen. Many of them were seamen. So they were going all over the place on the Mediterranean. Compared to a ship, and yeah, I called it the sinking of Tyre's ship of state, because it really is. It's going to end up being their demise. So it's really talking about a city, Tyre, but he uses this, the ship to represent the city. And so whatever happens to the ship is what's happening to the city in real terms, right? So anyway, it's very poetic in the way it's written through the rest of the chapter. It's very poetic kind of language. And so anyway, I won't go through that breakdown, because we'll go through that as we go through the text. So again, 25 through 32, the main section is judgment on the Gentile nations that opposed Israel. The reason they're being judged is because of the way they treated Israel. Remember going back to Genesis chapter 12 and God speaking to Abraham, you know, bless those that bless thee, I will curse thee that curse thee. And these guys cursed Israel, descendant of Abraham, so this is why they're going to be judged. So the great ship, verse 1 through 11, the great ship is talking about this great ship, which is really a city called Tyre, but this, again, the ship is the picture of that area. Now, we talked about this before last week, and even as a handout, and the different cities that are involved. There's seven different nations, city-states, I guess, that, you know, have God's going to be dealing with and going to be judging them as well. So not only Jerusalem, but some of them at the same time, but many of them after Jerusalem is taken down. But the point is, you know, these other states, city-states, are going to be destroyed as well. So don't think that it's just about Judah. God's making sure that everything is the way it's supposed to be according to His understand His justice and His holiness, and all goes with it. God's not allowing them to get away with what they've done, especially in the context of Israel. I'll just leave it at that point. So I think I put this up before just to show you the main idea. Tyre had a mainland city, and then they had the island itself, about almost a half a mile out. And so, you know, there's nothing there in between but water. It's an island. So obviously they go back and forth by way of ship and all that went with that. And what he's saying, both are going to be destroyed. The mainland's going to be destroyed first, and then the destruction of that city is, and all the rocks are going to be thrown into the water that make a causeway to get over to the island, and eventually they take over the island as well. So let's start here in verse 1. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, so again he's speaking the words of God. Ezekiel's not making up stuff. This is Ezekiel's way of introducing a new thought. We've seen it who knows how many times, scores of times by now. How many times say, the word of the Lord came to me. That means a new message came, and now he's going to express it. Ezekiel received his instruction from the Lord, and also his writings are inspired. I want you to get the idea. Not just the word of the Lord came to him, and he spoke them verbally, he did, but he's the very words that he's writing are the actual words from the Lord. So he spoke words, and he wrote words, and they were exactly what God wanted him to write. The thought is that he was to predict a lamentable, a difficult time, a condition was going to come upon that city. He's going to be speaking about the difficult time. Now, he did that with Judah a lot, didn't he? But now he's going to do it for Tyre. We're continuing to talk about Tyre last week, this week, and into next week we'll be talking about Tyre, and then he'll move on. Verse 2, now, son of man, and who's son of man? That's Ezekiel. So God is speaking to Ezekiel, the son of man. Take up a lamentation for Tyre. So now he's calling it a lamentation, a time of depression, kind of like a funeral. We would call it like a funeral. Ezekiel was told to recite his lament to Tyre. So but remember, he's in Babylon. He's not near Tyre. So I don't know how he's going to get that message to them other than as it's written down and probably after the fact. But the point is, he's still spoken. This message is for the people of Tyre. Maybe they know somebody from Tyre or whatever, but they're not in Tyre. Remember, he's speaking from Babylon. The Lord instructed Ezekiel to write a lamentation over Tyre, though presently it was renowned for its seafaring and commercial leadership in the world. Again, they were rich. They made a lot of money, seaport, and all the way with it. It's while it's still at the peak, while it's still very strong, give it a lamentation, give a funeral over it right now, which seems to be kind of like, well, why would you do that? They're doing great. Well, not for very long, obviously. So Tyre's neighboring kings sang the first dirge over Tyre's demise. So the actual dirge is going to be when Tyre goes down, and all the surrounding nations that she was connected with are going to be, oh, this is going to affect us as well. So they're going to lament the loss of Tyre because it's going to affect them as well. So destruction of sinners always moves the heart of God. It should also move the hearts of his spokespeople. So he's just making the point that we shouldn't be gloating over somebody else's demise. Let's put it that way. And many of them did. Verse 3, and say to Tyre, you who are situated at the entrance of the sea, right on the sea of the Mediterranean, merchant of the peoples on many coastlands, many different nations. Can't remember something like something like 18 different nations that they have good connections with. So it was very influential. Thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. I'm glad none of us have ever said that, right? That's right. But anyway, the lament centered on Tyre's reputation as a major seaport and merchant power. So they understand how influential they are at the moment. Focusing on Tyre's pride at the beginning of the lament seems to imply that's really the reason. The reason for the downfall, first of all, has to do with their treatment of Israel, and second has to do with their pride. They don't need God. They have everything figured out. The whole world's revolving around them. We're rich. We're doing great. We don't need anything to do with God, except for many of them had their own gods, like Baal worship, which were some of the names of their kings, had Baal as part of their actual name, as a king name. Anyway, verse 4. Your borders are in the midst of the seas. Your builders have perfected your beauty. The city's beautiful. There's ruins of it. You can see some of the pictures of the ruins. It's pretty amazing. There's a construct idea of it, but, you know, the mainland. And then it had its own little city, had its walls around it. It was hard. It would be hard to go after it if you're land people, like Alexander and later on, and then and the Babylonians. It's like Babylonians could never take it. They never did take it. They took the mainland, but they couldn't take this part of it. So the real demise of the city became when Alexander came in. That would be a couple hundred years later. So,
is that a small place, Pastor?
Is it a small place?
Is it small?
No, I think what I understand it, it's like about 2 miles square.
Oh, okay.
2 miles. But it's not big either. It's like a small city, but it's an island. Yeah, if you look at it. Yeah. Today it's ruins. It's nothing to talk about. So this is a picture of some of the ruins from the city itself. You know, that hasn't, not all of it's been knocked down. Like Jerusalem, we consider itself perfect in beauty. We have others, the prophets that talk about the people of Israel thought, we are so beautiful, we're so perfect. Oh my, the attitude was just wrong. So Ezekiel describes Tyre as a large, beautiful merchant ship. Again, it's a city we're talking about, but the ship is the analogy, the picture. The materials that had gone into its construction have been of the finest quality, and he'll get into some of the quality, some of the pieces that were used to make it. They made all your planks of fir trees from Sinar. So we're talking about building the ship, but are we really talking about building the ship? Well, yeah, a little bit, but mostly about the city, because they built lots of ships. So they are talking about their ships, and that ship actually represents the city also. So remember, there's two things going on. They took a cedar from Lebanon to make you a mast. So, you know, the hardwood and all that went with it from Lebanon was used also in the temple of Solomon, remember. So materials used in constructing Tyre's ship of state, I call it ship of state, emphasized the city's sound construction. It was sound, it was strong. The idea was going to be around forever, and they're always going to be rich and always going to do well. So the planks probably refers to the ship's hull. You know, we would call it the foundation of the building. So you got the ship and the buildings going on at the same time, right? They used the finest trees from Sinar. Sinar is the Amorite name for Mount Hermon, north of the Sea of Chinnereth, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee. So they changed its name over time. So we're all up in the northern part of Israel, up in that region is where they're located here. And the ship's mast was made from cedar from Lebanon. And the cedar trees prized for their height and for their strength. And the strength, and so they would be used. Many passages talk about how many the cedars will come down from Lebanon to build the temple of Solomon also. So they were prized wood. It was a good wood, and they used it for a lot of things. So they used it, and that was more close to where they were at, Tyre. They had to go down quite a way to bring those all the way down to Jerusalem, but they did for the temple. Of oaks from Bashan, they made your oars. The company of Ashkerites have inlaid your planks with ivory from the coast of Cyprus. So now he's just alluding to the fact that they have other materials from other places around the Mediterranean that they would bring in to make it their city even more beautiful. Her connection with other nations supposedly guaranteed her security. And not times those that, there's a phrase, something like, he who rules the seas rules the world. And it's been a long time understanding. That obviously was in part of their thinking. Well, we have control and connection with so many different countries and things around the Mediterranean. We're pretty hot stuff, right? We know that we're doing well. So the sturdy oars for the ship were crafted of oak from Bashan, east, again, the north of the Sea of Galilee. And the deck, the planks of the ship were made of cypress wood from Cyprus. So from the island of Cyprus, the cypress tree. Too many cypresses in there, two different kinds there. They used four kinds of wood, pine, cedar, oak, and cypress, because they mention all four of those type of woods that are being used. Fine embroidered inline linen, rather, from Egypt, so they got material from Egypt, was what was what you spread or for your sales. So you got linen that they use for clothing, but they got that same linen also could be used as a big sail, beautiful sail for their boats. That all came from Egypt. Blue and purple from the coast of Elashan was your cover. You were covered. We covered you. The idea is they had all these beautiful materials that they got from around the world. And they trade. When they would trade from one, they could trade to other people. So it was such a hub that a lot of the things that they made, they got it from somewhere else. They were just kind of in between, and they were like the middleman. You know, the middleman always seems to make a lot of money. Well, they were like a middleman in a lot of ways in how they dealt with things. So the sail of the vessel was sewn from fine embroidered linen from Egypt. A little picture of a beautiful boat. Egypt was known for its fine linen cloth, and so others went there. Israel went there, the Egypt, for the materials as well. So that's obviously a very famous thing for Egypt. Her linen sail had become Tyre's distinguishing flag or banner. So apparently most of the flags used what they got from Egypt. So they all had a certain distinctive look. I can see that sail. That's somebody from Tyre. They used the material from Egypt. So it had a certain look to it. And the awnings, colored with blue and purple, so they had a lot of dyes, right? Dye from the coast of Elashan used a tent-like canopies that helped protect crewmen from bad weather. There's a lot of things they would use dyes for. They used it on the ships. They would use it for material to dye your clothes, to make a lot of things look really bright. Elashan appeared to be the ancient city of Cyprus. Some believe it was Greece, Italy, or Syria. It's interesting, we don't know for sure, but he's naming it. This is early on. We're at 500, 550, whatever, BC area. So we're early in time. And so many places have changed their names, so it's hard to know precisely which one. So Greece, Italy, or Syria, but it's quite a distance. Greece and Italy, not so far away, but Syria is just straight up, and the others would have been way west. So, they don't know for sure where they came from. So the dye industry was common throughout the Mediterranean. A lot of places had different dyes, and they would make them from all kinds of materials, from herbs or whatever. There's a lot of things that they would use to make some of these dyes. Clays, they would use them and dry them out. Inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your oarsmen, your wise men, O Tyre, were in you. They became your pilots. So they actually hired people from various regions that were very good at being sailors and very good. And they need sailors because they had lots of ships. They went different places, so they needed more people that were wise, not just smart about finances, but they need to get the ship guys to get there safely. They have to get somebody that knows what they're doing. So they would hire people. They become their pilots. So the crewmen of the ship were the best available, men of Sidon and Arvad. Manned the oars and men of Tyre were the seamen. So they had a combination of people they would bring in and say, you want work? I can give you work. I need someone that knows what they're doing with sailing. So Sidon, another seaport about 20 miles north of Tyre, so Tyre and Sidon is up a little further north, was one of the oldest maritime powers. So you get a couple that are right on the coast, Tyre and Sidon. And oftentimes you hear Tyre and Sidon mentioned together because their judgments are one right after the other because they're only a couple miles apart from each other. So Arvad was an island off the coast of Syria. Today we think of that as Turkey, right, to the north there. Both cities were known for their shipping. So obviously you're around the Mediterranean, you're on the coast of the Mediterranean, you're going to be using those waterways to your advantage, right? Verse 9, elders of Gebal and its wise men were in you to caulk your seams. So when you're putting wood together, and I think, that they're going to leak. You're going to have to caulk the seams. We use caulking today around windows and all kinds of things, right? Make sure the seams are good. All the ships of the sea and their oarsmen were in you to market your merchant. That in you is the idea that you had, it's a part of your system. They're in you, you hire them, you get to use them. You get all these wise, skilled people that can do all kinds of wonderful things, and they're doing wonderful things, and so they're all making money. So it's a beautiful thing, right? The earliest Polynesian ships each had about 50 oarsmen, and they were quite fast. So there's a lot of different ships that we can look online and see what they look like. You know, you've seen the picture of the people lined up, and the oarsmen would be the guys pulling the oars, and they would make it go pretty quick, right? The later commercial ships were much longer and had a crew of up to 200 people, which is quite a crew, right, with two or three banks of oars. So sometimes you'd have somebody low and somebody high, and, you know, you get banks of them. So you get a lot of muscle power there for speed, right? That would be really good. And they say for commercial, but, you know, obviously you saw them, many of them would use them for war purposes as well. They would have them for war when they would ram. That's oftentimes you may notice a lot of the old ships, the front of them had really big wood, something heavy, hard wood, and they would ram another ship and all that. But we're talking about commercial here, mostly about those trying to make money. So Ezekiel picture Tyre as a strong, seaworthy vessel, a ship, right? All the ships of the sea and the other countries and the sailors came alongside to trade with her for her wares. So everything was going well and everybody was making money and went really well. On board the ship were experienced repairmen, called them elders, veteran, the really skilled people that knew how to do things. Again, they would hire people that knew what they were doing. They need people to keep the ship afloat and they can make sure that it's safe. Gabal, which is actually called Byblis in Lebanon, again, up north of Israel in that region, was the name of the modern city of Jebel, located on Syria's Mediterranean Sea. So it's a Byblis is one of the oldest cities in the world, like Damascus up in Syria. Old city. Like it's the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world. So we're talking about a very rich, old culture that's been around for a long time. Same area. Because the ships were wooden hauled, the seams between the wood needed caulk, you know, because they would sink otherwise. So got to make them watertight. 10 through 25, the military and commercial activity. So you had some military. They weren't big on going to war. That wasn't their focus. Their focus was mostly commercial. But they, like I mentioned, they had the ability to do war, and they had ships that would be very good, worthy for war. Those from Persia, Lydia, and Libya were in your army as men of war. So they hired mercenaries, if you will, to, we need you to protect us, we'll pay you to guard this area, we're you know, make sure everything is safe, basically. So they hung shield and helmet in you, they gave splendor to you. So they had an army. The army wasn't about going out and attacking people, it was about defending themselves. That was the real purpose of it. So Ezekiel then described the military and commercial activity of this mighty city, both of them, commercial and military, but again, mostly defense. Tyre was protected by the best mercenary army that could be mustered at the time, and that probably was very much the case. The soldiers included men from Persia, Lydia, and Persia. He named all these guys earlier. Persia, east of Babylon, so now we'll go beyond where the guys that were Ezekiel speaking, actually a little bit further into Iran, right? Persia, east of Babylon, ultimately defeated the Babylonians in 539 BC. Remember, that would be after Daniel lived to see that event take place. He was very old at the time, but that's when Babylon was taken over by Persia. So they had connections with others because they would go down in the sea and they would come up into the Persian Gulf and they would have trading going there. Not just in the Mediterranean, they'd have this other kind of activity going on, other west of them. So they had quite a system going on where they made a lot of money, most of which seemed to be, well, the most convenient was the Mediterranean, but they had work going on in Iran as well. So the men of war were mercenary soldiers for the Polynesian army to defend them. Polynesian is really the name of that region where Tyre and Sidon at. It's better to associate Put with the area of present-day Libya, and that becomes important later on in this book, actually, when we get to Gog and Magog and the different nations that are involved in that war. Put would be involved in that. Both Lydia and Put supplied mercenary soldiers for the Egyptian army. So these guys had were really good at military activity, and people would hire them, say, yeah, you come here. And again, I mentioned earlier that even the Babylonians or the Romans, a lot of times the people that were doing their war wasn't from their region. They would hire them to do army work. They would hire them to go in and kill. We're going to hire you. We're going to pay you so much. Basically, we're going to give you food and water. And when we win, then you can go and take some plunder, right? And so they would take over. And that would seem to be a common thing to do. Like most of the people that destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD were not actually Roman. They weren't Italians. Many of them were Arabs from the area that were actually hired to come in. Verse 11, men of Arvid with your army were on your walls all around. They had army, they had the walls. And the men of Gamad were in your towers. They hung their shields on their walls all around. They made your beauty perfect. Get the idea? It looked like, I'm not going to try to go up against that. They got beautiful walls. They got military. They got shields. They got all kinds of equipment. These guys looked like they were pretty well endowed. I'm not going to go against those guys, right? So these mercenaries were joined by men from Arvid and Gamad. The location of Gamad is unknown. That particular, he names, the Bible just tells you what's true at the time. It's up to us to figure out what they mean. Sometimes we figure these things out from archaeological work where they did some kind of a dig and they see a reference to a name like that. And then they would go, oh, this is in that area. So now we know, you know, that's how we know some of the things we do from archaeological work. Otherwise, we don't always know what the names mean because the names change over time. So the outstanding men of Tyre itself were traders, not soldiers. So you get the idea. They were, their activity was about making money, and boy, I can make this, and I can sell this, and I can make a profit over here, and we're going to hire those guys just to protect us, right? They hired other men really to do their protection. Tarshish was your merchant because of your many luxury goods. So they had all kinds of wonderful wares to sell, right? They gave you silver, iron, tin, and lead for your goods. So they got anything and everything, all kinds of things they were selling. They were involved with all kinds of material. So he didn't actually print this, but I went through, as you go through this chapter, he names all these different places and all the different things they bought and sold from these different places. So, you know, the name, the location, the merchandise, silver, gold, tin, lead, slaves. We're talking about slaves. They sold men and slaves as well back then. Workhorses, war horses, mules. We're talking about that as we go on. All kinds of fabrics, embroidered work, fine linen, coral, rubies, wheat, olive oil, balm, confections, honey, wool. They're coming up in the text here. That's kind of putting it all together to see who they worked with, all the places, and then where they're at, what cities or countries they're from. Wheat, olive oil, I mentioned that. So iron, all kinds of herbs, saddle blankets, lambs, rams, goats. I mean, they were selling. You get the idea. They traded anything, everything, anything for a profit, it seemed. Spices, precious gold, precious stones, gold, blue fabric, embroidered work, multicolored rugs, all this stuff they're involved in. Could have printed that out, but I forgot. I didn't do that this time, but I'll have it online if you want to print it out, just to kind of cool to see how influential Tyre really was around the world. They had a lot of connections with a lot of nations. Tyre's partners in commerce spanned the limits of the then known world. I mean, the then known world would be up to Spain, because after you get out of the Mediterranean, you go into the Atlantic, and it was like, what's after there? Other than they did know about England. And so that would be out there. But after that, that was like the end of the world from their standpoint. It was too far. They fall off the edge of the earth. You remember the whole image? Anyway. So the fact that Tyre traded with so many nations and cities show her vast influence and commercial expertise. She was good. She was very good at knowing how to make connections and make money. Notice a large number of places and products named. Again, we'll see more as we go on. Most likely Tarshish. You've probably seen that name Tarshish show up somewhere in another Bible book. Where's Jonah at, right? It's in the southern Spain, a Polynesian colony famous for silver. So Spain would be way over to the west, way, 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 virtually the end of the earth, all right, from their world of looking at. So they had connections all the way around the Mediterranean, including to the south, Africa and all that went on. He'll name those. 13. Javan, Tubal, and Meshach were your traders. They bartered human lives and vessels of bronze for your merchandise. So now we got slave trading as part of what they were doing as well. So Javan is Greece, Tubal and Meshach, both Eastern Anatolia, paid for the merchandise, for the purchases from Tyre and human slaves and vessels. The point is they sold it all, and it went in all directions. And those names, Tubal and Meshach, will come up later on in Ezekiel, but and we'll get to that when we get there. 14, those from the house of Togarma traded for your wares with horses, steeds, and mules. So you get the idea. They traded everything. So there could be animals, could be material spices, could be gold, could be silver. So there was a lot of serious money being transposed around. So some of these little pictures, some of these names, Gomer, Togarma, Magog, Meshach, Tubal. This is an 1874 map. I just put that up there just to kind of show you. So we're in the Mediterranean. So Israel's down here. The Tyre. So they had connections going way up north as well. Just wanted to kind of get that idea. And they got a lot of their war horses from up there. So the men of the Dan, verse 15, the men of the Dan were your traders. Many isles were the market of your hand. Again, not just the land. They go to this island and this island, and they make money here. So they're traveling across the Mediterranean, connecting in all kinds of little places. You get a lot of little islands they make connections with. They brought you ivory tusk and ebony as payment, all kinds of things they would make as payment. The Dedanites, who lived in Arabia along the Persian Gulf, or the Gulf of Aqaba, also traded with Tyre and paid for their merchandise with ivory tusk and ebony. So again, not just along the Mediterranean, out there where they would actually go down through Israel and around, so they did some land trading as well, not just at the sea. So, anyway, verse 16, Syria was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made. You had a lot to offer. They all wanted to work with you because, I don't know, the analogy today is whether you like Amazon or not, you can find almost anything on Amazon, right? One place, that would be like a Tyre today. Well, if I can't find somewhere else, at least I can go to Amazon. All right, well, okay, great. So this was what Tyre was like. One stop, one place, you can probably find anything you're looking for. They probably have it. I think that's interesting. They gave you for your wares emeralds, purple embroidery, fine linen, corals, and rubies. All kinds of things that people find of great value. Syria was one of Tyre's customers and provided her with emeralds, purple, and all that good stuff. Syria brought the products of her country to the city of Tyrus and exchanged them for manufactured wares that were great, you know, of that great seaport. The point is, they got there, they would go there because this is the thing, this is what we sold. Israel did the same thing. They had, and you mentioned Israel, but Israel would sell bomb, oils, different foods that they, things that they produced, that they made, they would sell with Tyre. So this was, everybody knew Tyre. If you lived in that region, in the Mediterranean, you definitely knew it because everything you wanted to buy, they had available. Pretty, pretty amazing place. 17, Judah and the land of Israel were your traders. They traded for your merchandise, wheat, millet, honey, oil, and balm. I mentioned them just a moment ago. So they traded with them as well. So the point is not like, don't be surprised. They've been doing it for a long time, and they've made a lot of money. It's obviously, they're not too far from Israel, right nearby, so they traded with them as well. So I think that's a pretty important concept. 18, Damascus was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made. And again, for where Tyre's at, you just go east, and you're basically in the area of Damascus. So became obvious they were close by, so they're going to be somebody they traded with. Now, understand, all these different nations that are trading with Tyre, eventually they're going to feel, oh, no. When Tyre goes down, they're all going to feel it, right? They're all going to feel because they know that's no longer an option, and they're no longer making money themselves, and they had big deals they were probably ready to make, and they're ready to make all this money with Tyre. And then tire gets destroyed, and oh, now what do I do with all this product? Who's going to buy my product now? I mean, you can see how it's going to affect people in a snowball kind of a way, a domino kind of falling idea. Damascus was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made, because of your many luxury items, and with the wine of Heban, and with white wool. So all these, he's just saying, they had everything. You want fancy? They had it all. They had it all there, right? Again, Damascus found that Tyre was very attractive. They made a lot of money there. Helbon today is called Helbon, 13 miles north of Damascus. So we're talking about Syria, the modern-day Syria or Turkey up in that region there. So again, not hard to imagine because they weren't too far away, so they were easy partners to trade with. Dan and Javan paid for your wares, traversing back and forth. Now this is Greece, so they're back and forth from the coastland, of the Mediterranean, where Tyre's at, and they go west up to Greece and back and forth. The back and forth gives you the impression they made lots of trips. There was probably trips that were passing each other. I mean, there were so many trips going over to Greece. So they wrought iron, cane were among the merchants. They had all kinds of stuff they purchased, really. So anyway, this Dan isn't the Dan like the tribe Dan. Dan was another term. It refers to the city of Adan in the Persian Gulf. So this was more in the Iran area. So there's a place called Dan. So don't get it confused with the tribe of Dan that was initially to the south, but eventually they ended up being way up north, as far as they can get away from Jerusalem. That seems to be the issue, attitude of Dan at the time. The Dan was your merchant in saddle cloths for riding. So it had to do with horses and riding. They made all kinds of material like that. So I had a couple of pictures. You got the idea of a blanket you would throw on the horse, and then a saddle you would put on, and they made all this kind of stuff, right? So the Dan made all that. So you get the point. You're going to have these horses for riding. You're going to use them for work. You're going to use them for military. All those are very important. 21, Arabia and all the princes of Kedar were your regular merchants. Regular, you get the idea, this was ongoing. They traded with you in lambs, rams, and goats. So again, a lot of animals are being transported all over the place through the ships of Tyre. Arabians and the Arab tribes of Kedar, nomadic groups. So these guys are nomadic, so they were moving around a lot. They paid land. They paid by lambs, rams, and goats, the things that they had. They trade what they have. This is what we have. Oh, we can use that. I'll trade you this for that. Oh, that sounds good. So all that was going on. Now, Arabia was an open country, and its people worked in the production of sheep and goats. Again, that's what they did, as they moved around. And sometimes the moving around was because, well, they ate up all the grass here. We got to go somewhere else. So they had to be on the move or have enough land. And anyway, we'll go on. Verse 22, the merchants of Sheba and Ramah were your merchants. Again, you see the point? He's naming all these places that they were customers with and suppliers for. They traded for your wares, the choicest spices, all kinds of precious stones and gold. You get the idea. They sold all kinds of stuff. Spices of all kind could be used for dyes, could be used for eating, obviously. A lot of times you talk about the foods of the Mediterranean and all the wonderful spices and things they would add. Awesome. They had great food. And so they sold and traded for all this stuff. 23. Haran, Kenneth, Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Assyria, Kirmad were your merchants. You're just naming all these places. You get the idea. They were very influential, right? And a very old idea of the rugs and things that they would get and material from them. I think it's pretty interesting. All around Mesopotamia, that would be more like the Babylon area that where Ezekiel was speaking from. But get the idea. They made money from all over. So God had to tell Ezekiel this information. All these names, all these things that they sold. He's in Babylon. He doesn't know what's going on really so much in Tyre at this point, other than what he hears, and somebody comes and goes, and some merchant might come around. So everything he's writing down is exactly what God told him to write down, everything that we're reading. 24, these were your merchants in choice items, in purple clothes, in embroidered garments, in chests of multicolored apparel, in sturdy woven cords which were in your marketplace. You get it? Everything awesome. You can buy it all there. So just a list of beautiful, colorful things that they could make money with. 25. Your ships of Tarshish were carriers of your merchandise. Again, that's, you know, they're over here on the the west coast of the Mediterranean, but way over, going very far west, is Tarshish and basically Spain in that area. The ships of Tarshish were carriers of your merchandise. You were filled with very glorious and very glorious in the midst of the sea. Everybody recognized these ships when they came by. Beautiful, and they made a lot of money. Tyre's trading was so brisk that the ships of Tarshish were the carriers of the wares. So they even had to hire some other, basically seamen, basically from Spain, to actually carry some of their wares. So you got other people involved. So there was all kinds of international agreements that were going on. I think that's quite interesting. Now, the end section here is Tyre's catastrophic sinking. Because everything we said so far, man, that place has got it. It's hot. That place is doing great. Man, there's no wonder they're so proud, humanly speaking, right? But then there's 26. Your oarsmen brought you into many waters, but the east wind broke you in the midst of the sea. Oh, no. So all that we've been talking about, how awesome it is and all the money, something's going wrong. Something's not working very well. So Ezekiel was building to a climax. They described the beautiful construction of the ships. The first 9 verses, and then the success of their commerce, how that it was everywhere, 10 through 25. Now, he's talking about the catastrophic sinking of this ship. Again, are we really talking about a ship? Yeah, some of them could be ships, but it really isn't a ship. It's really the city is the picture, right? Ezekiel reverted to poetry to insinuate the tragedy. So now he's going to talk about the tragedy, but it's going to use more poetic language. So let me go on. 27. Your riches, wares and merchandise, your mariners and pilots, your caulkers and merchandisers, all your men of war who are in you, again, you're all part of your system, and the entire company which is in your midst will fall into the midst of the seas on the day of your ruin. Well, that doesn't sound too fun if you're on the business end of that, right? Most ships tried to stay close to the shore to avoid rough storms. That's pretty obvious. Tyre ships of state, venturing in her commercialism on the high seas, was going to be, you know, caught in violent storm. Seems the picture that he's bringing here. So they're not staying along the shoreline where there's a little bit more calmer. He's going out into the deeper, in the Mediterranean, so they make beelines. And some of them went along the coastline and just saw it all along the way. But the picture here is, these are the guys that are more in the middle. We hit some pretty big storms. The Mediterranean has some pretty major storms there. And, you know, you're on a big aircraft carrier and it's bobbing around. You know it's a very serious storm. The swells would be 30, 40-foot swells. We're going up and down. I can only imagine what these little choppy boats would have been like. Impossible to imagine. So during the fall and winter, the weather on the Mediterranean becomes unpredictable, and we always seem to be around the end of winter. the travel was hazardous. It was very difficult. We got later on, Paul likewise goes and has himself shipwrecked and goes through that. So that's a picture of it, but that's the picture of Tyre here. A storm from the east or northeast would blow the ship away from the coast and out into the ocean where there's little chance of survival. Remember, there were sailboats. And which way do you travel when you got a sailboat? Which way is the wind blowing? Okay. So they had to learn. They had to have skilled people that knew how to work with that and adjust with that. The picture is the east wind being Babylon. Babylon's coming in. They're destroying them. It's like the ship is being pushed out into the Mediterranean, deep into the deep water, and it sinks. And yes, that's the picture going on here. Here, the violent storm from the east referred to Babylon, east of Tyre. And I think that's pretty significant. 28. The common land will shake at the sound of the cry of your pilots. These are like the captains of the ships. These are guys that are in charge. These are guys that know what they're doing. They're crying out. This, the guy that knows what's going on, and he's crying. Oh, no. Right? Oh, we're all in trouble then. The surrounding countries would mourn the loss of Tyre. All right, and that's a big deal. So, as they're crying as it's going down, the cry is going to be surrounding to all those connections they have with all those people. Such an event would be like a ship that has been attacked and defeated, which could cause the pilots to raise a wail or a cry out that would be heard all around the shores of the sea. Wailing and crying and can't, you know, the idea is we're going down and there's nothing we can do to stop it, right? 29, all who handle the oar, the mariners, all the pilots of the sea will come down from the ships and stand on the shore. To get the picture, the boat's going to go down, people are going to see it. Right, they're going down. This verse describes the utter dejection the men of Tyre will manifest when their beloved city is overthrown. So the picture is a lot of things, but the picture is a ship going down, and the picture is also the idea of someone on a ship watching the city go down, being destroyed as well, Tyre. So that there's a lot of little imagery, I think both are going on there. 30, they will make their voice heard because of you. They will cry bitterly and cast dust on their heads. And like mourning, you throw ashes and sackcloth and you make yourself miserable. You don't make me happy. I want to be miserable right now. You get that kind of, they want to be miserable because they know their whole life. Either they're going to die or their whole livelihood is about to go away. They will roll about in ashes. Again, they're very depressed. The surrounding countries will cry and sprinkle dust on their heads and roll in the ashes because they just not, it's going to affect them again because whatever happens to them because of all the money you've been making with them, that's all going to go away. The cry of the Tyrians from Tyre, when destruction came, would cause their merchants, their trading partners, their onlookers to beware and mourn. Everybody's going to mourn over it. Now, and of course, as I'm reading through, I'm going, how many people are mourning over the destruction of Jerusalem? Because that's happening just prior to this event, or in the midst of it. So, and Jerusalem went first, but it seems like anybody around Jerusalem were like, yeah, you get them, Babylon. Nobody was mourning them, but they're mourning this guy, the tyrants, and all the because of the money. But Israel, whatever, if something bad happens to them, maybe we can take advantage of that somehow. You get the very different view here. 31, they will shave themselves completely bald because of you, which every time we want to see, this was a long hair right here. We actually would cut it all the way down. We like to do it when we go to sea anyway. But they're doing it for a different reason, but we did it because we were just, that's one of the things they did, I guess. When you go to sea and you're going to be gone and nobody's going to see you, nobody cares for all these months. They will shave themselves completely bald because of you, gird themselves with sackcloth, and weep for you with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. They're depressed, they're down, they're pretty unhappy. They will shave their heads, put on sackcloth. Again, that's the picture of like somebody that died, and it's like a picture of a funeral and all that. This verse describes some more of the customs of the old times. Now, how many people, when you see go to a funeral, do you see people coming in with sackcloth and, you know, itchy wool and putting ash all over them? Well, usually they actually dress up really nice and they wear a nice suit. And so it's a different custom, but, you know, how they express their grief was different, obviously, at that time. They actually shaved off the hair of their head to produce this artificial baldness. Baldness wasn't a sign of wisdom. It wasn't a sign of strength. They were just depressed, and so they were making themselves look depressed. Right, 32. In their wailing for you, again talking about Tyre, they will take up a lamentation. All the nations they dealt with and traded with, and lament for you. What city is like Tyre? It's kind of like what city is like Tyre? They're saying it out loud, like what. Who else is like this great city? But they said, destroyed in the midst of the sea. Oh, no. And remember, there's water all around, especially the island part. Those were signs of an intense grief associated with personal loss. We saw that in Job, and the same picture that goes back a long way, the idea of making yourself look depressed. And the wailing, even during the time of Jesus, they would have wailers. They paid people that would wail. And if you weren't depressed when you went into the area and you listened to those people wail, you probably got depressed. Wailing, right? Made everybody feel depressed. They pay people to do that in Jesus' day. Ezekiel recorded a second lament within his larger lament, who was ever silenced by Tyre surrounding. So the lament for the city and the lament for all the people that associated with her. I think that's pretty amazing. Those who traded with the once bustling city of Tyre would be appalled at her sudden loss and silence. I mean, it's no longer, they may show up every other week and they come up with their ships, and now they're not coming anymore. There's no more ships coming. There's silence there. There's a whole other idea of it's all stopped. It's all gone away. A couple of verses left. When your wares went out by sea, you satisfied many people. People love what you were selling, and they love what I'm making, and they're selling, and they're trading for it. You enriched the kings of the earth with your many luxury goods and your merchandise. That's a pretty nice thing to say, right? So they made a lot of money. A lot of people were enjoying it. Go on, 34. But you are broken by the seas and the depth of the waters. Your merchandise and the entire company will fall in your midst. It's a big deal. They're going to truly fall, the whole city. Now, let me put it in perspective. Babylon is going to take the main city. They're not going to really be able to take the island. But they do eventually overwhelm because they stay there like 13 years. Right, it's a long time. So they really they frustrated the tyrants. So there was a long period of time. They were able to take Judah in a year and a half, or Jerusalem, but Tyre, because of the nature of it, took them a lot of years. That's a big deal. They basically wore them out. They stayed there so long. They said, "Okay, what do you want? Okay, we'll pay you whatever, just to get rid of you. We want to be able to do more trading and all that." They still had access to the sea, but none of the other trading, it all got shut off by land. That's an important concept. It's not till Alexander, 332 BC, that when he comes in, that he actually destroys the city, the island itself, because he actually makes a way to the island. 35. All the inhabitants of the isles will be astonished at you. Their kings will be greatly afraid, and their countenance will be troubled. Okay, so if they can do that to them, they can do that to us. You get they're all the kings are like, oh no, this is not good. This could be coming after us next. Those who had profited from her would be appalled, and the kings would shudder in horror and fear, is the picture. The businessmen would be astonished because the pride of the fleet had come to a horrible end. I mean, the pride being Tyre itself. The pride of the fleet of all these ships and all that, it's all coming down. Pretty big deal. Tyre's trading partners would stand appalled at her, and their kings would fear for the prosperity of their own kingdoms. Okay, so they're losing money, and their other concern is we're going to lose their life. That's their fear. And last verse. The merchants among the peoples will hiss at you. You will become a horror and be no more forever. A couple notes here. These rulers were fearful because if the great city of Tyre could be destroyed by the Babylonians, then their hope of escape was dim. If they can do that to Tyre, they can certainly take us over. We don't have nearly the army. We don't have the same wall structure. We're a lot easier to overrun. They were all concerned. The merchants would also whistle through their teeth, hiss is the idea, in shock. And hiss, you see that a lot of different places where hiss can mean the idea of you hate somebody and you at somebody. Yeah, cat. Cat hates everybody, right? They hiss at you. So, but hiss could also just be the idea of demise. Something bad's happened to the hiss in the sense of a tragedy has taken place. There would be some people who scorn with malicious joy. It could be, and it definitely was true for Israel. When Judah went down, nobody was there to go, "Oh, whoa, that's terrible. That's a sad thing." They seem to be joyous over it, and that's part of the reason for their demise, and that's why God goes after those nations. Last screen, I believe. The record of Tyre has a particular reverence for our day, relevance, for those areas in which she excelled and was the envy of the entire ancient world are precisely the fields in which every modern city seeks superiority. Everybody seeks superiority by doing exactly what Tyre does. The United States does exactly what Tyre does. We have connections with all kinds of people and nations and things, and we have all kinds of trade agreements and tariffs and all that stuff is true. But the key for America is, is God really our God? And that would be the question for Tyre. God was not their God. Jehovah was not their God, and he's not our God either. So whatever happens to Tyre, and as magnificent as Tyre was, well, why can't the same thing happen to us? Again, when you look at the Bible prophecy and you look at what's going to happen in the future, there's nothing that indicates America. I see people do all kinds of things trying to find America. They see the word eagle, or they get it. But no, I don't see America. It's not in Scripture. So we could fail before it's all over with, because we could have the same pride that Tyre had, and we're not really trusting in God. That's obviously a real thing. So Tyre has a message for our age, and it is that riches without God are unable to satisfy the heart of man and often keep many from dependence upon God. The riches, when you're trusting in riches, why do I need God when I have all these riches? Obviously, that's bad thinking. And so we have that same concern. So the spirit, this spirit of I guess we'll call it lust and all that, this spirit has invaded the church and invades lives of too many Christians, where we're trusting in our 401ks, we're trusting in whatever, you name it, whatever. Or you're trusting in that, or you're really putting your trust in the Lord. What if all that went away? You'd be mourning, just like all the other nations around Tyre were mourning. So really make sure that the real thing that we're trusting in is not stuff, but in God himself. And that is the end of that little chapter. Well, let me close in a word of prayer. Thank you, guys. Father, thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for this opportunity to look at your word. And we see how great Tyre was and all the connections it had and what a great fall it was and how it affected so many more people. We pray for our own nation and for the believers in our nation that we stand bold and we stand strong and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ to a dying world. And we thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.